United Kingdom. It's May 11th. I'm Lou Caverly, and my co-host is...
Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly.
We're coming to you at WWCR.com. Also on WWCR shortwave, 4.840 megahertz, every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Repeating on 7.490 megahertz, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m., and on 9.350 megahertz, Mondays at 4 p.m. Our website is DividedKingdomRadio.com. There at DividedKingdomRadio.com, you can visit our listening archives and hear last week's May 4th program. It was extremely crucial with Dr. Joseph Mercola's extended warning about mRNA vaccines that may be going into our beef cattle as early as August. These so-called vaccines may have already been in pigs for a decade or more. We have read a disgusting update that Missouri Senate Bill 1169 has been sent into committee to essentially kill it. This bill seeks to have labeling put on meat products, letting the consumer know if mRNA vaccines have been used. This is simple, informed consent. We must be aware and spread this warning widely so other states like Idaho and more may step up.
And Lou, I'm not sure whether this is in your script, but again, because there was a lot of static on 4840, we understand, to listeners in Pennsylvania who may not have heard Mike Adams, the health ranger's warnings. He thought it would at least be prudent when you were eating meat to cook it very, very, very well. Don't eat raw meat for sure. If you cooked it very well, he thought perhaps it would disable the mRNA that was in it. And we don't know. We think perhaps it's been in pork for over a decade. So it would be best also, Mike said, if you can buy organic. We hope that still means something.
Yes, we certainly do. And a lot of people like steaks rare, you know, just slightly done. Mike advises against that. In fact, that's a good rule of thumb for various other reasons with bacteria and other contaminations. So it's always good to cook the beef and other meats well. And we understand valiant attorney Tom Renz will probably introduce another bill for Missouri. This issue is one we cannot remain quiet about. Food preserves our lives, and food destroys us via poisoning by global depopulationists.
These efforts to curtail America's food supply have included between 1,500 and 2,000 food factories destroyed this year by fire or explosion. In addition to these, Radio Watchman Hawk, who was on Global Star before our program, recounted in his May 5th program that two more acts of probable sabotage were going on. A plastic factory in Los Angeles was on fire, and a Houston oil refinery also was burning. Hawk remarked, "They want to have total chaos." It is also important that we allude to the Chinese military threat on the horizon. With no doubt huge numbers of Chinese military coming in Biden's expanded immigrant caravan. Plus, as Hawk mentioned, we then have another worry, the Raven Air Star balloon, I believe is the name of it, and this was above Fort Riley. And this balloon has a 30-foot platform under it that has all manner of cameras, monitors, and advanced technology to see into missile bases. Doesn't that comfort you, Lou? Not so good, is it?
Not so good. Not so good.
No. And in addition to this Raven balloon above Fort Riley, apparently there was another balloon sitting above, I think this is I-10, in Abilene. And then there was a similar one sitting at 65,000 feet that went over Hawaii. Lou, the CCP spying apparatus is really trying to infiltrate our defenses.
When you
have the news blitz tonight, you see, you listeners are going to conclude that the Antichrist spirit is moving more and more toward perhaps the actual materialization, of the person, the the Antichrist himself, because everything is metastasizing. Are we entering the Great Tribulation?
Good question, Elizabeth. True watchmen, per Ezekiel 33, must strive to tell the truth always, even as they avoid the innocent blood from falling on their souls because they fail to meet their duty to warn God's people. When Elizabeth spoke recently on our program that the controversy about the pre-tribulation rapture idea, the mid-tribulation rapture, and the post-tribulation rapture were not salvation issues, she more or less insinuated we could coexist and have complete fellowship despite these varying theological beliefs.
And Lou, I was wrong. God showed me, first of all, in the newsletter that recently came out from a very large ministry that believes in the pre-tribulation rapture, I saw these arrogant words. You will never find any scripture telling the church how to dodge the Antichrist and where to build your bunker so the Antichrist and his troops won't be able to locate you. Nor are we told to stockpile food for 7 years so we can survive without taking the mark of the beast. Christians have a blessed hope, not a blasted hope. Quote, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. Pre-tribulation rapturists believe that Jesus could appear at any moment. What happens if you take this certainty away? Urgency becomes complacency. Yes, I know Jesus is coming, but I will have at least 3.5 years before he comes.
This shocking attitude of arrogance, not to prepare with a bunker or stockpiled food, is really not biblical. Look at these two passages of Scripture. First, Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. And then in Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil, and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Also, Elizabeth, the idea of the pastor in the newsletter you quoted, that people would become complacent if they believed in a mid-tribulation rapture instead of a pre-tribulation escape from trouble. In other words, thinking I can wait 3.5 years before getting my spiritual ship in order. Well, I, Lou, find this to be a very twisted defense of pre-trib. Pre-trib rapture belief itself leads to the real complacency. No need to stand up against any aborted fetal COVID shots, for example, for we'll be out of here. Only those poor suckers described in the Out of the Pit of Hell book series, Left Behind, will have to worry.
Yes, and then God admonished and taught us again through Bible passages and wisdom that came from our longtime listener and dear friend Ken. And now you have something to report on that, which something Satan always does to us.
Yes, Ken was very definitive that the scriptures were unmistakably clear, saying the return of Jesus was only coming after the tribulation ended. In other words, God's elect will not escape it. Naturally, as Satan has often done to us before, certain key articles and quotes we need for the broadcast disappeared. We know this is a tactic to frustrate our bringing you God's truth, for it has happened numerous times, despite our best efforts at organization and preparation. So, Ken's letter disappeared. I have been able to reconstruct, for sure, one passage he enclosed, plus a few more that may have been in his letter. These are very clear in meaning. First, we have in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, the words of Jesus, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Then in a similar instance in Mark chapter 13, we see these words. And this goes on, actually, down verses 14, 19, and 20. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created, unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days.
Yes, so we make an uncompromised stand of our belief system that we do believe in the post-tribulation, if we want to call it rapture, or return of Jesus Christ, even though Jesus said that only the Father knows the exact time to come. And in another passage that's related, Lou, you looked at it today, I think, it was about Jesus telling his disciples something similar.
Yes, in the first book of Acts, I should say the first chapter of the book of Acts, the disciples questioned Jesus about when the kingdom would be restored, and of course that would be when he returns. And he tells them, it's not for you to know that.
The times and the seasons,
rather be ready for when I give you the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, in other words, then it will be your job not to worry about those things, but to go out and preach the word to all people.
Yes, that's what's essential. So tonight, we are now moving to the Divided Kingdom Radio News Blitz, and we open with a headline from Michael Snyder, At the End of the American Dream. And this was April 26th. A plague that could kill a billion people has been found to spread efficiently, though that word is in quotes, among ferrets. If you thought that what we have been through the past few years was bad, just wait till you see what happens when a truly deadly virus starts spreading like wildfire all over the planet. For example, scientists have been warning for years that the H5N1 strain of the bird flu has the potential to rapidly kill vast numbers of people. The good news is that H5N1 does not naturally spread easily among mammals. But more than a decade ago, scientists in the United States and the Netherlands were at work. And this is Elizabeth. Wow. Hint, hint. As far as we know, the gain-of-function research is still ongoing. It hasn't been stopped. So today, it may be ferrets, but H5N1 for people, to have it spread among people, is no doubt in deep research.
And now we had a headline from Infowars.com on April 26th. This is by Kellen McBreen. WHO issues warning of huge biological risk after Sudanese rebels hijack lab containing virus samples. Could this set up the next globalist pandemic or plandemic? The Sudanese rebels might be a great scapegoat for the NWO to blame for a virus release. According to the World Health Organization, rebel fighters in Sudan have gained control of a biolab containing various dangerous virus samples. Fighting between rebel forces and the Sudanese military has been taking place since April 15th. Breaking. World Health Organization says there is a, quote, extremely serious, unquote, situation and, quote, huge biological risk, unquote, after a lab containing virus samples falls into the control of Sudan fighters.
And now,
think over to you.
Yes, we're still in this maelstrom of evil, and this was the headline for the People's Voice, April 29th, 2023. CDC investigates rise in mysterious brain disease in fully vaccinated kids. The CDC has launched an urgent investigation into the, quote, mysterious rise in brain disease among fully vaccinated children in America. Listeners, and now this is Elizabeth speaking, this is so serious. Did you hear the words rise in brain disease among fully vaccinated children in America? Right now, Lou and I have a dear friend, an American veteran. in her early 70s who was double COVID, quote, vaccinated, and even sadly got the booster shot. More than a year or two later, she now has fluid on the brain, has fallen four times in a week, and had a sort of a seizure-type episode in which she screamed and flailed her arms. Now, what do the evil medical powers tell the talking points? Yes, the mainstream media worldwide is always told to say things about adults or children when their brains are attacked by spike proteins, how they lie and dissemble.
And doctors sound alarm over mysterious outbreak of brain infections in Nevada kids, and they believe it's linked to COVID lockdowns. This is from the Daily Mail.
Did you hear
Mail.
That, listeners?
That's worth repeating, isn't it?
Oh, it isn't those spike proteins. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's repeat that headline again. This, by the way, was from InfoWars, actually written by Daily Mail, April 29th, 2023. Doctors sound alarm over mysterious outbreak of brain infections in Nevada kids, and they believe it's linked to COVID lockdowns. Cases in Nevada children tripled in 2022, rising from 4 or 5 a year to 18. In the subheadline, health officials are sounding the alarm over a spike in rare and serious brain abscesses in children in and around Las Vegas, Nevada. Experts at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are investigating the spate of cases, while doctors across America say they are also seeing a rise in cases. The number of brain abscesses in minors tripled in Nevada last year, shooting up from an average of 4 or 5 a year to 18. In a related article, explosive new study finds face masks may increase stillbirths, testicular dysfunction, cognitive decline in kids. Dr. Taryn Bragg, a pediatric neurosurgeon and associate professor at the University of Utah, who treats the cases, told CNN she had, quote, never seen anything like it, unquote, in her 20 years' experience.
Yes, Lou, where's the evidence that these face masks are going to be more harmful than the shots were themselves? No, as we said, you have to be alert for a lot of disinfo, blaming the wrong things. It's a lot like we all see those foes of the Second Amendment rights. They're always blaming guns. Guns are evil. We must get the guns like they did in Australia when they took the real Crocodile Dundee's guns from him, I think, and killed him. No, guns do not kill people. People use guns to kill people. And the same thing here, the lockdowns and the masks causing a brain disease, that's a little bit of an intricate kind of lie, I would say.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too trustworthy to me. I'd like to see some evidence.
Not very scientific.
No, no, not at all. And then now we have this headline, fully vaccinated Jamie Foxx, lucky to be alive, and that's in quotes, after stroke on set. This is from the People's Voice.
And the People's Voice also on April 28th had a headline, global population reduced by 1 billion since 2021. Media blackout. A disturbing new analysis has revealed that the globalist elite have already murdered 1 billion people in cold blood since the COVID pandemic was unleashed on an unsuspecting world in January 2020. Now, this is Elizabeth. Of course, listeners to the Divided Kingdom last week, May 4th, know that we reported some more impressive statistics from another article that it was not 1 billion in reduction worldwide of the populace, but it was 2 billion in this culling figure that relates to the hatred toward the Earth's people. Remember that just so far, one researcher said that the peak of these deaths, these died suddenly deaths, as an aftermath of the COVID-19 shots, would come in 2025. So as we're seeing with our friend here, it wasn't immediate. It takes time for these things to happen. You recall that Lou and I had brought most of an article about prion disease being related to the aftermath of these spike proteins, the mRNA embedding in the DNA, changing it all. Things were folded in a misshapen way in the brain. It takes time, and you may see some of your loved ones changing. It may not happen all at once, but these terrible things are coming, and we ask you, again, to pray for that family that has the daughter blowing the metallic shards out of her nose and the little grandbaby who was rushed to the hospital and thought she had a stroke and could not talk for hours. We ask you to pray for our friend, the military veteran, who sadly a few years ago found on her driver's license here in Maryland on the back, restriction. What was the restriction? Veteran. How long will it take for the ordinary middle class of America to wake up and see that Eisenhower was right when he told that group of Republicans at the Bedford Springs Hotel in summer of 1962, you are fighting for your very lives. You don't know it yet, but when the time comes, you will be up to it. Will we be up to it? Are we going to stand up against things in each of our states if we don't get that bill, 1169, to go through and a new bill to replace it? We must have labeling. We must have labeling to know whether our meats have mRNA in them. And I misspoke when I talked about appeal. It's appeal, capital A-P-E-E-L. The pronunciation is appeal, that little circle with the forked thing on it that has the trans fat coating on it developed by Bill Gates and company, so that we can have more hardening of the arteries, even on organic fruit, some of it. If it's very shiny, Lou and I think we had a little bit of it. So now Dr. Jane Ruby has reported, and you do want to look for her at Brighteon.com in the search bar, Dr. Jane Ruby. You want to hear every program you can of hers. She found that now some of the big grocery stores in Florida, like Publix, I think was one, they are putting out this fruit that has APL on it, this shiny coating. The mono and diglycerides are what this is, the trans fats. And she found that they don't all say the word APL anymore.
Yes, they may just have the little symbol, which looks vaguely like an apple.
With a little forked leaf thing on the top of it.
Yes, right. Yeah, so be on the lookout for that.
Yes, go ahead.
And now we have, no one except the globalists will be allowed to grow old. This is by Rhoda Wilson, April 30th, at exposenews.com. The well-documented global slaughter of the elderly has shocked millions. In care homes, nursing homes, and hospitals, the elderly were deliberately and cold-bloodedly murdered by direct orders from above. Politicians and advisors decreed that the elderly should be denied medical care, and thousands who did not find, or who did find themselves, and some of the words are chopped off, so I'll try to interpret that here. Thousands who did find themselves without compassion, caring, or proper decent care. The elderly were denied contact with relatives or friends and were kept in isolation, in some cases for years. Residents were told that they had to be jabbed with a so-called vaccine that was known not to be effective or safe. Thousands of elderly patients were killed by a vaccine which should have been classified as too dangerous to use. The elderly were locked in, forced to wear masks, which did more harm and no good, well, we might dispute that, but and subjected to conditions which, had they been applied to illegal immigrants or dangerous prisoners, would have elicited all kinds of protests. And now we have, from the People's Voice, April 19th, depopulation update. Biden's regime to provide poor people with free, that's in quotes, free mRNA jabs. The Biden regime unveiled Tuesday a $1.1 billion program aimed at coercing uninsured people to receive the dangerous mRNA jabs. The two-part initiative would force pharmacies, local health departments, and federally supported health centers to urge poor people to take the free COVID-19 vaccines, according to a fact sheet distributed by the White House. KSLTV.com reports, Americans can currently receive COVID-19 vaccines and certain treatments at no charge because the federal government purchased them for distribution to the public. But when that supply is exhausted, the products will shift to the commercial market after Congress refused to provide more funds to purchase additional supplies. Most people with insurance will be able to continue getting vaccinated for free, but that's not the case for those without coverage. One prong of the new program calls for creating a public-private partnership with local and national pharmacies, which administer the majority of adult COVID-19 vaccinations. The federal government will provide a per-dose payment to the pharmacies to cover the cost of administrating the vaccines and treatments, including the antiviral medications Paxlovid and Lagevrio, I guess it's pronounced. Pharmacies can also receive one-time payments for each site that targets areas with low rates of access and vaccination. To let the uninsured know about the program, the pharmacies will be expected to conduct outreach and work with community groups that focus on underserved populations. Just how many pharmacies choose to participate, however, remains to be seen. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services will work to establish contracts with the pharmacies over the next few months, with the aim of launching the program in the fall, according to the fact sheet. It expects pharmacies that have participated in the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's COVID-19 Test to Treat program and other pandemic partnerships to join the effort. Also, the administration is relying heavily on drug manufacturers providing vaccines and treatments free of charge to the uninsured. It notes several times in the fact sheet that drug companies have committed to doing this. HHS also expects that manufacturers will provide the vaccines to participating pharmacies, which will be compensated through the drug company's patient assistance programs. Moderna said in February that it would provide the vaccines at no cost to the uninsured through its patient assistance program. Pfizer has also pointed to its patient assistance program, which helps people without insurance get the vaccines. The companies did not immediately respond to CNN's request for comment about participation in the new initiative. Asked about whether the vaccine manufacturers have agreed to participate, an HHS spokesperson said the agency, quote, has had very positive conversations, unquote, with them. The second part of the program leverages local health departments and federally supported health centers, which traditionally care for the uninsured. The CDC will purchase vaccines for distribution to the departments and centers, while the Health Resources and Services Administration will support the delivery of vaccines and treatments to its network of health centers. The federal government said it expects to purchase the supplies at a discount, as it does with similar existing immunization programs. Just how many uninsured Americans will utilize the program is uncertain. Not that many people are getting vaccinated for COVID-19 these days, and the rate is lower among the uninsured, some data has found. Allowing the uninsured to access the vaccines at no charge is important, but so is educating them about the program, said Jen Cates, Senior Vice President at the Kaiser Family Foundation.
And Lou, didn't you say this reminded you of Edwin L. Black's book?
Oh, yes. It's very much like that. That book called The War on the Weak. Well, these are the weak people, and it seems like the government is determined to just make sure that they get these dangerous vaccines.
And in that book, it was about eugenics, wasn't it?
It sure
was. People in the South were sterilized without even knowing it. People they thought were feeble-minded. People could then never have children. This is really something. And one of our listeners, who's very, very keen, had sent us some material in the past, and I just flicked my eyes on this the other day. It was about the Fabian Society. And if I'm correct, I think Tony Blair is part of the Fabian Society today. But we've always heard that historically it was had a good face, that it was there working for the rights of dock workers and, you know, the poor people, the dispossessed. But one of the key leaders in the 1930s said, we've got to kill the poor. We've got to get rid of all of them. We've got to kill them all. So this is what's at the heart of all this, with this benevolence from Big Brother to find all these people. And we also have another update from Dr. Ruby that now, I guess it's GlaxoKline, yes, has a new vaccine approved, and it's coming out for a respiratory illness. I think that's the, Lou, can you help me with that? It's syncytial, something like that?
It's something like that. I'm not sure the exact way it's pronounced.
But at any rate, it looks very, very suspicious again, because the testing for it from the Mayo Clinic information would be that they use the PCR test, the same discredited PCR test that the FDA not long ago was saying on its website not to use it. You know, it was discredited, but now it's coming back. And to Dr. Ruby's mind, there was really no way to diagnose this very well. It sounded to her like it was the common cold. But you see, we've got to get those cattle, prod them into the gates that are shrinking more and more. With every type of mRNA vaccine put into the body, the person's going to get sicker and sicker and sicker. And, you know, you might think out there, well, it's all over now. And a lot of people do know, because before Tucker Carlson left, there was some exposing of the dangers of the vaccines. But, you know, I've told you before, I try to witness to almost every telemarketer I ever encounter on the telephone. And I had to call a candy company that Lou and I really like. They have wonderful fruit and they have candy. And I noticed there was a bitter taste in the chocolate coating. And I thought, gosh, let me look at the label. And the label said, flavoring or natural flavoring. Now, if you don't know that out there yet, that can be a code word for hidden aspartame. Dr. Stan Monteith used to interview Dr. Betty Martini. She was the expert on this. She said it was in, I forget how many thousand, maybe 10,000 products. So it's hidden. So I thought, is this hidden? So I called up the company, and I got a very fresh-faced kind of sounding, nice young person, good, caring young person, and I discussed this, and the person said, oh, the person would be happy to check with their compliance team and send us an email, and we did. We got a wonderful email from this company that they would not think of using something like that in their products. But during this talk, I asked the young representative, a young woman, had she had the shot? Yes, she had had both of them. And I don't believe that she had the booster. And I said, don't get it. And I said, they're killer shots. And I talked about Jamie Foxx having the stroke. But she was just blindsided. She had no idea. This is it. God cannot stand this, that these little lambs of his are being led to the slaughter. And you'd better have something on your hearts, listeners. It's not just Lou and me who were called to do this warning, this Ezekiel 33 warning. You are called to let people around you know, because this new round of shots is going to start with this, whatever the name of it is, so-called respiratory virus. It's not over yet. It's not over. And we need to pray for America to repent. We do. The evil is everywhere. That wonderful listener that we have from the Northeast, who has the same kind of accent as Lou, has written, this person was put into a senior housing thing after her property was seized, and she has found out the same thing that George F. Will, the columnist whom I usually despise, he's very much into the New World Order globalist clique, but he did have some morality about this. He was talking about this happening in another state, not just in Massachusetts, where after they seize the property, they use sometimes a private corporation is involved, and there is extra money, but none of this extra money goes back to the poor person who lost the home. It is kept with the private corporation and the state. They have this money. So this terrible corruption, this person who had this happen to her in the Northeast asked us to talk about it. And we do want to alert you. We want to alert you that a lot of unsavory, unscrupulous things are going on. And who do you trust? That's the name of it, isn't it, Lou? Who do you trust?
That's right.
Go ahead, Lou.
I'm reminded of that verse. I think it's in Hosea. You can help me out, Elizabeth. My people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge.
Yes, yes.
That fits so well, this kind of thing.
It really does.
And now we move on to this bulletin. HHS whistleblower claims Biden administration is middleman in child trafficking op. This is from the peoplesvoice.tv, and the date was April 27th. And it shows a picture at a congressional hearing of some sort, and the caption says, HHS whistleblower Tara Lee Rodas has just testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee. And at the bottom it says, on Wednesday, Rodas told Congress that in the United States, children will work in slaughterhouses, factories, and restaurants to pay that debt to the smugglers.
And, Lou, not just the poor are in danger, judging by Basement Biden's latest. In this headline, this is Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden, April 28th. Biden DOJ, kids have a constitutional right to puberty blockers. The Biden administration has a new and unhinged constitutional theory. The 14th Amendment protects the right of a child to take puberty blockers. Bans on hormone treatments for children with gender dysphoria, such as the prescription of testosterone to a transgender 12-year-old, violate the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. That's the administration's position in L.W. versus Skirmetti, a lawsuit filed in a Nashville, Tennessee federal court by the families of three transgender children, a 15-year-old transgender daughter who thought he was transgender at age 12, a 15-year-old transgender son, and a 12-year-old transgender son. They're challenging a new Tennessee law that, quote, establishes prohibitions related to the performance on minors of certain medical procedures related to gender identity, creates private causes of action for violations, and establishes additional penalties for violations, end of quote. The families of these transgender kids allege that the Tennessee law, one, violates the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause by targeting the transgender, two, violates the right of parental autonomy guaranteed by the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause, and three, that the law is preempted by the Affordable Care Act, which prohibits discrimination, quote, on the basis of sex. All the children are, quote, currently receiving medical care, end of quote, that would be prohibited by the recent Tennessee legislation. What is this medical care? The 15-year-old transgender, quote, girl, born a male, is currently undergoing estrogen hormone therapy so that his body will, quote, undergo feminine pubertal changes. The 15-year-old transgender, quote, boy, who was born a girl, came out as transgender around the fifth grade. She is on testosterone. The 12-year-old, did you listen to that, listeners? The 12-year-old transgender, quote, boy, born a female, was diagnosed with gender dysphoria in the second grade when she then began her transition. That's usually, Lou, around age 7.
Yes, that would be about right.
Shocks the living daylights out of you, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
This occurred after her mom, quote, contacted a local LGBTQ resource center, who then connected her with a therapist. The young girl's mom was also a key factor in the biological changes endured by her daughter, having influenced the girl's decision to start taking puberty blockers. The, quote, treatment, hormones and puberty blockers received by these children and similar treatments we see across the country, including surgical genital mutilation, are considered, quote, necessary to remedy the effects of gender dysphoria, a purported medical condition somehow recognized as legitimate by major medical associations in the U.S. The Tennessee law at issue does not issue a blanket prohibition of hormone therapy. For example, a male child with a hormone imbalance or a congenital defect may receive testosterone. The prohibition only concerns treatment of gender dysphoria. And that's the objection by the Biden DOJ, that the treatment of gender dysphoria cannot be categorically banned. even if a state's lawmakers consider the treatment to be dangerous, ineffective, and ultimately harmful. The Biden administration argues that the law, quote, threatens irreparable injury to these children and any other, quote, transgender children in the state of Tennessee. It says that a transgender person, whom it defines as, quote, someone whose gender identity is inconsistent with their sex assigned at birth, should be a protected class. That, quote, transgender status warrants heightened scrutiny because it is, quote, immutable, like gender. Thus, laws that target the treatment of gender dysphoria should be given intermediate scrutiny by the courts. The Biden administration's position that one's identification as transgender should elevate them to a protected class similar to gender has not been adopted by the Supreme Court or a majority of federal appeal courts. If this were to be accepted, it would cause significant shift in the law and put at risk numerous state laws banning childhood gender mutilation or the administration of puberty blockers to the young. In other words, it's their way to circumvent the legislative process.
Kids are under attack from Bill Gates. Not only has the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation been funneling money toward vaccinating mRNA into hogs and cattle, they've been hard at work on moral degradation as well. From National File by Frankie Stocks, April 24th, Bill Gates wants 10-year-olds to learn about, quote, commercial sex work, unquote. The perverted lessons for children are part of a comprehensive sexuality education. Vaccine-peddling billionaire Bill Gates, through his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is funneling money into a non-governmental organization, an NGO, that teaches 10-year-olds and younger about, quote, commercial sex work, unquote, and being, quote-unquote, interested in those with, quote, diverse gender identities, unquote. Bill Gates has been found to have yet another connection to the sexualization of children around the globe through his multi-million dollar annual donations to the International Planned Parenthood Foundation, IPPF, which is related to the American Planned Parenthood Abortion Mill Organization, also founded by eugenicist Margaret Sanger, but functions as a separate entity. IPPF's network is composed of 120 independent organizations that stretch across 146 different countries, and it received more than a whopping $80 million from Bill Gates to promote the sexualization and prostitution of children. Also funding the IPPF are Gates' close allies at the World Health Organization. According to a 2017, quote, toolkit, unquote, released by the IPPF, the group calls for the mass sexualization of children 10 years of old and of age and younger, writing in the toolkit that by age 10, children should be introduced to different ideas about, quote, sexual activity, unquote, including commercial sex work under the banner of, quote, comprehensive sexuality education. And here's a quote from the IPPF toolkit. The quote reads, sexual activity may be part of different types of relationships, including dating, marriage, or commercial sex work, among others, unquote. And it also promotes, quote, sexual rights regardless of age, unquote. Revelations that Bill Gates is funding the pro-prostitution, pro-LGBT sexualization of children comes after a UN, United Nations report suggested decriminalizing all forms of sex, including the rape of children. Additionally, the Gates NGO revelations come as increased scrutiny is being applied to a wide variety of NGOs that have inserted themselves into virtually every political issue imaginable, raking in major donations from millionaire and billionaire elites like Bill Gates and George Soros. In addition to NGOs that sexualize children, other NGOs are operating just south of the U.S. border in Mexico, aiding and abetting illegal aliens as they prepare to enter the United States, and setting them up with resources on the American side of the border so they can avoid deportation. As National File recently reported, ex-presidents Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton have joined forces under the banner of an NGO titled Welcome.us for the purpose of funneling third world migrants into the United States from all over the world, including from Afghanistan and Ukraine.
The People's Voice, April 24, 2023. Bill Gates pumps millions into legalizing pedophilia. Kids are sexual beings. That's a quote. Globalist, and this was written by Baxter Dimitri. Globalist billionaire Bill Gates has been exposed, pumping tens of millions of dollars into the campaign to remove the age of consent around the world, arguing that children are, quote, sexual beings, and essentially making young children fair game at the hands of pedophiles. Bill Gates comes from a long line of eugenicists, and his father, Bill Gates Sr., served on the board of Planned Parenthood. Now Bill Gates has been exposed funding the International Planned Parenthood Federation, and this is Elizabeth Liu talked about it, the IPPF. That, again, is the International Planned Parenthood Federation, a group that is also campaigning for kids to be sexualized from an early age. Bear in mind, the only lesson Gates said he could draw from the notorious pedophile Jeffrey Epstein's demise is that, quote, we have to be more careful. Does Gates have our children's best interests at heart? It's highly doubtful, considering he can't stop smirking whenever he talks about children dying. In 2017, Gates' IPPF released a toolkit which provided a revealing insight into their depraved agenda and demonstrated exactly how they are attempting to teach sex education to children around the world. The shocking toolkit was first flagged by Nicole Solis, of the Independent Women's Forum. According to the IPPF, children under 10 must be taught that they were born sexual and that they should know that sex comes in many forms, including prostitution. Sex positivity acknowledges that human beings, including adolescents and young people, are autonomous sexual beings, the NGO adds. Now, I have to explain here, this is Elizabeth, NGO means a non-governmental organization, and this was a way that was explained by the late Dr. Michael Kaufman in his book, Saviors of the Earth. This was a way to wrest control from elected officials, say county officials. We would have these appointed representatives, usually linked to the UN, and these organizations, they become NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Back to the article, but it gets even worse. According to Bill Gates' IPPF, educators must have, quote, an understanding of young people as sexual beings because, quote, all people are sexual beings with sexual rights regardless of their age. Lou, this reminds us of Chris Pinto's wonderful documentary on the Kinsey syndrome years ago. And we recall that I think there were terrible therapists, so-called therapists, who were masturbating with 3 or 4 month old children. Remember, it was a horrific thing. What Kinsey really had going on?
Yeah, a bunch of total sickos is what I would call them.
Beyond that, yes, even beyond
yes.
total sickos. We know in prisons many times child molesters are murdered. That tells you something. The rank of evil, even among people who have offended society with some kind of smaller crimes. Back to the article. As a consequence of this twisted logic, the IPPF is arguing that we must remove the age of consent as a matter of urgency around the world. Young children must have, quote, the right to say yes or no to sex, the right to express sexuality, including the right to seek pleasure, the right to enjoy bodily autonomy. And Bill Gates can't stop quietly donating huge sums to this organization that is obsessed with the sexuality of children. Should we be surprised, or is Gates hiding in plain sight? After all, this is a man whose wife divorced him because he refused to end his friendship with the most notorious pedophile of our era. And this article doesn't say who that was, but that was Jeffrey Epstein. Now, back to the article. Bill Gates' support for IPPF wouldn't be such a problem if the organization didn't wield significant influence on global sex education, comprising 120 independent organizations in over 146 countries. The globalist elite have been working behind the scenes for decades to construct the reality we are living in right now. and Bill Gates is not the only member of the elite working to remove the age of consent around the world and decriminalize sex with children. And I think there's just a little more on this. The World Economic Forum in Davos has made it a central tenet of their evil agenda, and they are using their leverage with corrupt and infiltrated governments to create a world that is not safe for our children.
And now from Gateway Pundit, giant transgender biological male student at Southern California High School assaults girl after exposing his genitals in girls' locker room. And it says this was a video, but we have the text of it. And this is by Christina Layla, April 28th. A giant transgender biological male student at a Riverside, California high school assaulted a girl after exposing his genitals in the girls' locker room this week. The transgender student at MLK High School reportedly spit on the girls and physically assaulted them. And this is a quote. "He's in the girls' locker room using girls' restrooms," said MLK student Aiden Vermeer of the transgender student. And it goes on to say, "He spit on my friends that are girls, females. He shows his genitals in the locker room," unquote. Fox LA reported across social media videos showing a brawl breaking out at Riverside's Martin Luther King High School. What began as two students arguing on campus turned into a brawl involving a student who identifies as transgender. While fights aren't uncommon on high school campuses across the country, families and students at MLK tell that the transgender student from the viral fight video has a history of erratic and uncomfortable behavior. Parents and students tell Fox 11 that the said student has access to the girls' locker rooms and bathrooms. In a statement released by the Riverside Unified School District, the student at the center of controversy no longer attends MLK. And as a former teacher, I would say that's their way of washing their hands of it, trying to get rid of any controversy. And now, from the People's Voice, April 23rd, we have this headline. Project Veritas reveals gender clinics helping children as young as 8 years old to, quote-unquote, transition. This is by Niamh Harris. In the first installment of an investigative series exposing the lucrative transgender industry, Project Veritas has revealed that gender clinics consider patients as young as 8 years old for sterilizing hormone drug treatment and gender mutilation surgeries.
And that is really just shocking. Move right to the next article about, I think, is it the state of Washington?
Let's see.
Giving a kind of a sanctuary for all of this horror.
Well, we have one here.
Let's go right into that.
Here it is. Washington State Democrats pass a bill allowing shelters to take in runaway children seeking abortions, sex changes, without telling parents. And this was from Natural News by J.D. Hayes, Monday, April 17th. If it wasn't already crystal clear that Democrats are the deviant party who have suddenly pivoted to grooming and sexualizing children, while at the same time separating them from their parents, a new bill passed by these lunatics in Washington State should convince you. A new law has been passed by Democrats in Washington State that permits shelters, which provide refuge to runaway children, to not inform parents if the child seeks gender reassignment procedures or an abortion, the Daily Wire reported. The Democrat-controlled House voted 57-39 on Wednesday to pass the bill, which could soon be sent to the desk of Democratic Governor Jay Inslee after previously being approved by the state Senate. However, before the bill can proceed, the state Senate must vote on an amendment that was added by the House, the report continued. Shock! Washington State Democrats unanimously passed SB 5599, which allows officials to take custody of children if their parents refuse to consent to their sex change surgeries. It is not a conspiracy theory to say Democrats are coming for your kids. The newly passed bill adds language to Washington state law stating that if a minor is seeking or receiving, quote, protected health care services, unquote, which includes, quote, gender-affirming care and reproductive health care, unquote, it may be considered a compelling reason, that's in quotes, for shelters to not inform the parents' child, excuse me, the child's parents. Instead, they would notify the Washington Department of Children, Youth, and Families, the DCYF.
This insane piece of legislation was sponsored by State Senator Marco Leas, a Democrat who represents an area north of Seattle, and is co-chair of the LGBTQ caucus. Yes, apparently there are enough LGBTQ lawmakers in the Washington legislature to warrant a caucus. This legislation ensures that our trans youth have safe options and access to secure, stable shelter when they may not be welcome at home, Leas claimed. Legislation to protect transgender and at-risk youth seeking gender-affirming or reproductive care passed the House yesterday. SB 5599 affirms that trans youth are protected in Washington State by removing barriers to safe shelter. No, the writer here says it ensures that the authoritarian left successfully drives another wedge between parents and their children. The State House Republicans, who unanimously voted against the bill, argued that it constitutes a significant encroachment on parental rights. These are pre-political rights upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court multiple times. The Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment secures the rights this bill seeks to eliminate. The state has no legitimate authority to get between moms and dads who are providing a safe home and their children, period, noted Representative Travis Couture, R. Allen, Republican from Allen. These are very serious times, and we are fighting the good fight for our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you would like to help Lou and me stay on the air with the Divided Kingdom, you can put a little cash. You can write a check. We need a check right now for $40 written to Global Star Communications. You could put that right in the mail. And that is a check written to Global Star Communications for $40. We can take money orders. We can take postage stamps. We do appreciate all of you. We thank you for your wonderful letters and your help. And send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. God will not be mocked forever. Tell others about DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell others about Jesus Christ and his salvation for those who repent. Good night.